We're looking at the series called Stand. I was going to teach on spiritual warfare anyway, and I received an email and had some of these graphics with it and stuff, so I took advantage of that. Amen. All right, we're going to talk today about standing in truth and righteousness. Standing in truth and righteousness. I don't know, maybe you remember Pontius Pilate. Anybody remember him? I mean, he's well before our time, correct? But Pontius Pilate was one of the ones who had authority over Jesus, or though he thought, anyway. But he asked an important question, and he asked that question was, what is truth? What is truth? You know, I think the better question is not what is truth, but who is truth? And we know that as a Christian, that Jesus Christ is the truth, right? The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. So how do we walk in this truth, and is it even possible to walk in truth? You know, we're going to look today how important truth is to our spiritual armor. Remember, we're talking on spiritual warfare and what it means to have spiritual armor. We all have the armor, right? We don't have to put it on. It's already there. We just need to acknowledge it. Now, last week, we started off with our foundation. Everybody needs a foundation first, correct? So our foundation, or our strength by which we stand. Because if you're in battle, you have to stand. Because if you go down, you get pretty well crushed and ran over. So it wasn't about working harder, but to surrender our will to his will, which is totally different, because surrender sounds counterintuitive, but is the only way that the weak can ever say they're strong. Because we are taught that we just need to dig deeper, we just need to try harder, and then everything's going to work out. Now, granted, I'm not saying we don't have to do those sometimes, but what we need to do is get over to the place where we start to trust God and start to stand in his strength, and that's where we start to see the victory. So remember, surrender is not about giving up, but giving it over to him. Now, maybe you have a burden today, something you've been wrestling with, something you've been fighting with, something that just doesn't seem like it goes away, and you have tried to get rid of it. Maybe try a different thing today. Let's try to give it over to him. Because when we give it to him, that's when we win. I know there was something major in my life when I was young that, in my opinion, was standing between me and God. I don't know if you've ever had something like that in your life. Something that, you know, is not, you know, probably wasn't going to send me to hell over the deal, but I knew it was a problem. I knew it was a barrier between me and getting to where I needed to be with Jesus Christ. And finally, one night, I cried out, and I gave it to him, because I've been trying to wrestle it and get rid of it on my own. And finally, I was free. Because when we're in spiritual warfare, it's close hand-to-hand combat. I don't know if you ever had to do that. I've never did wrestling. I did in high school a little bit, but not on a team. I did it in gym class. But, you know, some people do wrestle. I think last week we found out only one person in the church wrestled. But anyway, we wrestle principalities and powers. Okay? It's close hand-to-hand combat. It gets ugly, and it gets personal. Because the enemy is relentless, and he's going to try to attack us at our weak spot. And that's what we learned last week, that the devil's MO is to try to penetrate our mind with a lie so that we believe that the lie now becomes the truth. And that's when we get into trouble. You're not good enough. That's a lie. You're never going to make it. That's a lie. This is always going to hold you down. That's a lie. But see, after penetration is made, and I encourage you to go back to last week's message, if you never heard it, and kind of get those three Greek words that talk about how the devil tries to attack us, because they're really going to help you to understand how to defeat your enemy. Because if you can learn how to defeat your enemy, then you can start to walk in victory. Amen. If not, we're always just going to fall to his schemes and stuff, and that's one of the words we looked at. Okay, now, Ephesians chapter 6, 14 is the verse we're going to look at today. What it says is, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your word. I ask you to stir up the anointing right now and inside each and every one of us, Lord, that we want to press in and press through to the greater things that you have for us. We take authority over the enemy from trying to steal the word out of our hearts. Lord, I thank you for that gift you put inside of me. I yield to it and I use it for your glory, Lord, and not my own. Lord, I do pray for words that both pierce and penetrate. And Lord, we pray also just for them gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the series is called Stand, as we know. We're commanded to stand, not give ground to the enemy. Sometimes that's hard. You know, we get into the battle and sometimes things get to happen and you know, has anybody ever retreated before? I mean, we probably won't admit it today. But if I had a show of hands, I bet quite a few of us would say, yeah. I remember a time in my life that I retreated. I didn't stand no more. And see, we want to get past them. You know, if we did, we just need to repent, get up, dust ourselves, and go on. So what I see is that, you know, we need to stand up and don't stand down. See, our culture is telling Christians to keep our mouth shut. We have certain principles and God wants us to live by. And the world system is trying to force these other things upon us. And if we say we don't want that, they start to say, well, you're judgmental. Or you think you're better than us. No, I'm not better. I'm just forgiven. And I have somebody else that I answer to now. And his name is Jesus. And I want to do things that please him. I don't want to do things to make myself fit in. If you're a Christian and you think you're going to win a popularity contest now, that ain't going to happen. Why? Because the world hates us because they hate him that's in us. We just have to realize that. You know, now Paul, he had been arrested and then he was waiting and finally he appealed to Rome. And they even said he could have got away, would have been set free, but he had appealed to Rome because God had told him by the Spirit, angel, that he has to go to Rome and preach gospel. Okay, in that whole scenario, what happened was that he was being escorted by Roman soldiers to Rome. And when he got there, he was held in house arrest also. But he was chained sometimes probably while they were traveling. And then, so he got a real close-up look at a Roman soldier. Now, I don't know if you've ever been close to one of our police people. Some of you have been really close, I know. No, but have you ever looked at somebody that is in law enforcement? Well, they have a belt, don't they? And they have maybe some shells stuck and gun and, you know, taser and, you know, all these different things on there. That's their uniform. And if you're up close and personal with that, you can kind of really see that there's a reason for that. Because in a crisis situation, they have to know where stuff's at because their life might depend on it. So that's how that those things kind of work. And it's like that with a Roman soldier. He had a certain uniform that he wore. And that, so the Holy Spirit was using something in a very practical thing, seeing that Roman soldier, and then he took it, the Holy Spirit did, and revealed it to Paul about our spiritual warfare against Satan. Okay? Just like we've been through that series on parables lately. Sometimes those pictures can really mean a lot. So that's what Paul used here. And ironically, what he started with is a belt of truth. Now, some people may not see a belt as an important part of your spiritual armor because people look at belts in two ways, maybe three. Number one, they're optional. They're not optional with me. I need a belt. But they see them as decorative or functional. I am the latter. Some people maybe what ties their outfit together. Oh, you need a belt for that. You know, something this color, maybe make it look good. Now, to me, belts are functional because, you know, I found this out again because it's important to keep your pants pulled up. Hey, just saying, that's just how it is. You know, I just was recently at the airport and I flew to Denver and came back. And when I left up in Des Moines, they didn't make me take my belt off or nothing. I just went through that little gizmo and put my hands up. And it took a scan and everything was good to go. Back in the old days when things were serious, you had to take your shoes off, take about everything off. Well, then when I came back from Denver, they were a little more strict. I could keep my shoes on, but I had to take my belt off. And in Denver, you didn't put your hands like this. You had to put your hands like this. I don't know, must have had a different machine or they just did it different. That, they got a picture for you to follow, if you, you know. So I was in there standing like this. Well, my pants are a little bit loose. I mean, I made it. I'll say I made it. But, you know, I was just standing there. It was a little uncomfortable because I know they'd have yelled at me if I'd have went like this, you know, and pulled my pants back up. And then I got over and was able to put my belt back on. You get to know a lot of people real good going through the TSA. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, belts are important. They're functional. And what we're going to see today is the importance of the belt of truth, how truth is so important in our life. Because truth and righteousness, which is you're going to look at today, are important because they deal with our identity. And if you're in a battle, you need to know what's important, who you are. Our identity in Christ is so important. And the power that Paul used, he started off with these two things, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, is so important because I know that you and I, in a battle, we need to have a supernatural identity. That identity has to come from Christ and seeing who we are and what we have. You know, who we are and how we operate are crucial issues that we must settle in our life. I mean, yeah, you may know your name, but who are we in Christ? See, that's where it's important. Because if you have your identity down, the enemy cannot lie to you and make you feel less than. Because we have the greater than inside of us. And that's going to help us when we get into the battle. When you're wrestling in that close hand-to-hand combat, you have to see yourself as a victor and not a victim. And that comes with that identity. And if we're not standing on God's truth, then we're going to fall for a lie. Because the world's going to lie to you. Friends may lie to you. They're going to tell you things so that you try to fit into this culture. But see, God wants us to stand up and stand out and be different. He wants us to be the people of God. He wants us to be the warriors in the kingdom because we are called to fight. I hope you like to fight because we Christians are called to fight. We're called to fight not against each other. See, we've had it all mixed up. We're not to fight against each other. We're to fight those principalities and powers, them rulers in high places that try to lie and to hold us back. And we have the victory over that. So there's choices that we make. We can either seek our truth or God's truth, but only one of these has stood the test of time. See, in our culture, we have a couple things going on. We have relative or situational truth that changes with culture, while God's truth never changes. See, I'll be honest, I've been around the sun several times, and things that used to be true when I was a kid are no longer true now. Because culture has changed. Because what the Bible says, that the culture sometimes calls good evil and evil good. That says that in Isaiah. Because that's what the world wants us to believe, their truth. And if we don't believe their truth, which is a lie sometimes, then we're not going to fit in. It's going to try to make us try to conform. You know, that's why we love that scripture in Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to get away from truth that changes, because situational truth has a way of making us out to be the hero or the victim in every story, depending on our self-image. Okay? Have you ever done that? You have your truth. The world says, what's your truth? Well, you pick a truth, whatever that truth that might be for you. And then in that story, in that truth, you either make yourself out to be the hero, or if you have a poor self-image, you make yourself out to be the victim. Poor, poor, pitiful me, right? Always down. Always defeated. Or if you're the hero, everybody else is wrong and I'm always right. Why? Because in your truth, that's how you see it. But see, that's dangerous. Because the only truth that really matters is really God's truth. When we stand before God, He's not going to judge us by what we thought. He's going to judge us by what He knows, His truth. And that's why it's so important for us to get into God's Word and try to figure things out. Like I said, our culture just looks at a belt as an accessory for an outfit. But like the Roman soldier, it was one of his most important pieces of armor, because that's where the weapons were attached. Okay? When he had his belt on, it could have been a belt as we understand it, or it could have been a girdle that has some things going down that would protect the thighs. This depends. It probably changed over time. But on that belt, there was places to hook the sword. How many know you need a sword every now and then? Place to maybe hook his shield. Maybe not the big shields, but a shield. And things like this, so that when he was in a battle, close hand-to-hand combat, he could go down and pick a sword or maybe pick his dagger and just pull it up and psh, and go right to battle. Because it was close. It was handy. It was right with him. Instead of saying, oh, wait a minute, I got to go get my sword. I mean, if you was an enemy, what would you do? I'd get him. Why would I let him get his sword? If he forgot his sword, that's his problem, right? This is war. I'm out here to win. I'm not going to let my enemy get their sword if they forgot it. So the belt kept everything organized, so when they were in battle. And what I found out in my life, truth helps keep our life organized around God's Word, so we won't be tempted to live out by our feelings. That's how important truth is. Because, and it's hard, you know, Bible says God's Word's like a medicine. You know, some medicine's good to take, some medicine's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it? Have you ever had some medicine that's hard to swallow? Well, sometimes you get into the battle and all of a sudden God brings correction to our life with truth, and that's okay. It's for our best interest. If we get corrected and get put back in the way that He wants us to think, to see things, and that's important. So without God's Word, which is truth, we're vulnerable and open to the devil's deception. Because when the devil comes to lie to me and tells me I'm not good enough, well, I know what the Bible says. Number one, I know I'm not good enough, but because He's in me, I am now good enough. And we're going to go on that in a minute when we talk about righteousness. See, Satan's always going to try to get us to fail. Why? He's already lost us to heaven, so the next thing he's trying to do is make you ineffective down here. He wants you to live your whole life and never, ever speak the Word of God to anybody else. He wants you to make you feel insecure and insufficient. Because if he can do that, it emasculates us, so the fact that we cannot go out and do the Great Commission, which he's called us to do. And that's to preach the gospel to all the world. And that's our prime directive. That's the first thing God wants us to do, is to preach the gospel. Why? Because that's how people get saved. That's how people get delivered from darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. So maybe he's lost us, but he doesn't want us to help anybody else. And if we're so insecure, our focus is not on the world anymore. Our focus is in the mirror, looking at me. Look at me. That's why truth is important. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's why Satan makes it so you don't want to read your Bibles. A lot of people say, "I don't like to read." Get over it. Deal with it. Fortunately for you, they have Bible on. You hit a button on your phone and they'll read to you. Right? How easy is it now to get the word in our heart? You know, we don't even have to try anymore. So all our armor that we're going to find out later in this series needs to be attached to God's truth, ruling and reigning in our lives. Because if we don't understand the Bible and God's word and God's truth, then we could take that sword of the Spirit and really do some dangerous stuff. How many Christians have been hurt by friendly fire? Maybe you're here today and you've been hurt by somebody in the church. They hurt people, right? But see, if we know God's truth, when we know that that's not the way he wants us to operate, God wants us to walk in love. He wants us to encourage each other. The Bible tells us that constantly. But yet sometimes, you know, we make that kind of mistake and we need to get over it. And if you have been hurt in the church, talk to the healer, amen? Don't, you know, I went to a restaurant and had a bad meal, but I didn't quit going eating out. I maybe went to a different restaurant, but I stayed in the game. And so you need to stay in the game. You need to stay in church. The local church is important. It's a local place where we fellowship and we build each other up and we stand together as an army of God. And it's so important that we do that. So belts are important. They keep things together. And also Romans, they kind of wore sometimes flowing garments a little bit. So they had a belt kind of kept things in, because if you're in a wrestling match, you don't want somebody to grab your, of course you guys don't wear a, I call them a gown, but it's a, name one out of my head right now. It'll come to me in a minute. But you got them garbs they wear and they're kind of open. Well, when you tie the belt on, it keeps it in, because the enemy, if you're in a wrestling mat, they can't grab something. That's kind of gross, but the Greeks, when they went into some of the wrestling matches they did, they wrestled without any clothes on. Now, that's kind of different, ain't it? You know. Why? So their enemy couldn't grab a hold of them and be able to throw them down. They even greased themselves up a little bit so you couldn't get a hold. You got to be greased with the Holy Spirit. Lubricated, amen? Hallelujah. Keep it so the enemy can't get a hold of you. Don't let it, and don't give him a place to grab a hold of. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't leave an open door. Don't leave an open window. So the proof of God's truth in our life is when we walk in integrity, and that's what this needs to get to, is the fact that when we walk in truth, that we're a person of integrity. And so only when we stand in God's truth will we be able to stand the face of the battle, and that's so important. So that's a little bit about truth. Now I want to hop right over into righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Now this was an awesome piece of equipment. This is where it gets a little fancier, you know, they were kind of interesting. Now, righteousness, as we know, is right standing with God. That's just a simplistic way of looking at the word righteousness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness, what it did, a breastplate, it protects the heart and the vital organs. You know, you could get whacked in the arm, but you get whacked in the heart, you're going down. If not dying immediately. So the Romans, they were a very sophisticated army and they had armor. Some of the people they fought against did not have armor. But the Roman had this breastplate of righteousness, which is made of maybe bronze or brass, very shiny, and it would cover their front and it would cover their back. so that when they were in battle, you know how many knows that sometimes a punch can get through? You may have your guard up, but you may lower it a little bit and it comes through. Well, just in case something got through, well, now you got that righteousness or that breastplate right there to protect you from getting hurt. Maybe you get distracted in life. But as long as you're walking in Christ's righteousness, even though the enemy takes a pot shot at you, it's not going to penetrate. It's not going to hurt you. You know that feeling that happens when somebody speaks evil against you, right? Has anybody ever had that happen? Somebody says something bad about you, and you ever had that feeling where, ugh, it just got through, didn't it? And you feel terrible inside. Because that shot that got through makes you identify with that problem, right? But see, if our righteousness is intact, when that shot gets through, boom, it's just going to bounce off. It's not going to hurt us. Why? Because we know it's a lie. Because that's not who I am. I'm not the guy that maybe lost my temper. I'm not the guy that maybe, you know, did something wrong or never followed through with what I said I was going to do. Yes, I made a mistake, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not based on what I've done, but based on Him. It changes everything in our thinking, so that we can have that supernatural identity, because we are in a battle. And the battle is difficult sometimes. So righteousness, the important thing is that, it, like I said, in that hand-to-hand combat, it's so important that we do that. So righteousness will protect that heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And also guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the issues of life, the Bible says. So this righteousness, how it worked, was that the breastplate, and I interchange those two, so please, I'll try to correct my speaking, but I'm in a, when I say breastplate, I'm talking righteous, and when I say righteous, I mean the breastplate. So they would wear this stuff, and it would be a metal. And then sometimes, you ever heard of a coat of mail? The knights used to have it too. It's this mesh that would put on it. Well, this mesh would go over that breastplate, and that every time it moved, it would rub. And it would make it shinier and shinier and shinier. And so when we're out in the thick of battle, we get shinier and shinier and shinier. And what the awesome thing was is these Romans, when they all stood together, when the sun would shine down and hit them as an army, it was like the whole hillside glowed. And that put fear in the hearts of the enemy to see this uniformed army coming at them. And that's why we need to stand together with the righteousness of God in our life. And we're going to walk in that victory that He's called us to do. Now, as far as righteousness goes, there are two kinds of righteousness, to backtrack a little bit. Number one, there's self-righteousness. Has anybody ever had that one? Anybody ever felt self-righteous? Maybe, hopefully before you got saved, right? But walking in self-righteousness. Now, that self-righteousness is based upon works. And Isaiah 64:6 talks about our righteousness as filthy rags. So it's just filthiness and dirtiness. And so what we have to understand is the fact that our righteousness is no match for the enemy, because we can't fight the enemy on our righteousness. And so because of our righteousness is compared to Christ's righteousness, ours isn't good enough. Now, if you put two people standing up here, one of them's Jesus and one of them's just one of you or me, and we're standing there, and we're basing everything about works, okay? You know what I mean by works? Things you've done, Now this little person over here, maybe you was a Girl Scout, sold a lot of cookies. Maybe a Boy Scout helped little old ladies across the street. Maybe gave a lot of money to the poor. You had this look at me attitude. Look what I've done. And then over here, you have Jesus Christ, who was sinless, never committed a sin, whose blood was shed for mankind, washed us all from our sin. Not only that, he rose from the dead. Now, if we were a voting people, I guess I would prefer to have this one, his righteousness. Because when God judges, he judges us according to Christ's righteousness, which is perfection. So there's nothing that you and I could ever do to get in better standing with God. The only thing we can do is put our faith in what Jesus has already done. Okay? When we put our faith in what Jesus did and the finished work at the cross, it's kind of crazy, but then God says that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, how is that? How do we get Christ's righteousness? Well, the Bible says it's imputed to us or imparted to us. It was just given to us. Now, there's a catch. You have to put faith in Jesus, right? There's always a catch. It's just not automatic. Just because you're born an American doesn't mean you're automatically a Christian. Some people believe that, but it's not. Just because mom and dad drug you to church as a kid doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because we're here today doesn't mean you're a Christian. What means you're a Christian is that we've surrendered our life to Christ. So when we surrender our life to Christ, well then, we tap into all the blessings he has. It's kind of like, I know this sounds kind of weird, but it's kind of like marrying up. Is anybody in the room marry up? You might be the poorest person in town, but you marry the other person and they're the richest person in town. Well, guess what? You married up. Your whole life's different now. You tapped into what they have. And see, that's what it is with Jesus Christ. When we surrender our life to him, we tap into that covenant relationship with him. So now that all that he has done and all that he has is ours. You say, why is that important? Because it changes the way you see yourself in the mirror. No, we're no longer some old sinner saved by grace. Some old sinner just barely getting along, crawling to church. Hoping I can get in there and maybe repent again today so I can get back good with God. No. We're in relationship with him. We have that relationship, and it changes how we act, and it should, and it changes what we do because we see ourselves in a whole different light, and that's where that identity comes in. See, we make the mistake of comparing our righteousness with those around us. And that's why we need to get past that. Now, in Christ's righteousness, I'm going to define it just a little more for us. We have the imputed, which is given to us, okay? Now that you have this, you're in that relationship, right? You have his stuff, his righteousness. So aside from the imputed righteousness, there's also what I call practical righteousness. Okay, practical. Anybody like that word? How many are practical? You know, it's important. See, practical righteousness is us walking in obedience to our Lord and Master every day. Now, what does that tell us? Okay, we married up. We're in this relationship with Jesus now. So what do? Do we go off and do what we want to do all the time? Do we go date other people? Huh? Do we chase after other people now that we're in this relationship? No. When we choose to love Jesus and walk in obedience to the things he tells us to do, then practical righteousness starts to manifest in our life. And then people can see the life and love of Christ inside of us. And that draws them to that. Okay? That's what God wants to do. So that's how that practical righteousness. So obedience is not about trying to get God to love us. Obedience is about showing God how much we love him. So righteousness manifests in our life when we're empowered by grace and choose to walk worthy of God's calling on our life. God has a call on each of our lives. He gives us the grace to empower us to fulfill that calling. All we have to do is we must be a willing participant in the work of God while Christ is being formed in us. Jesus Christ is being formed in us, the Bible says. So righteousness is not about perfection, but it's just about our identity in Christ. And once we settle that, then we start to go free. So how does truth and righteousness work together? We're going to close out with these couple thoughts. Well, truth reveals righteousness. God's word is truth. And we start to walk in integrity to God's truth. And then righteousness starts to be revealed and starts to manifest. Because here's something important. What we believe shapes how we live. What we believe shapes how we live. Well, what do we believe? That forms a pattern in what we do. See, if our belief system is rooted in lies, then we're going to live a lie. So, if our belief system, on the other hand, is rooted in God's truth, then we're going to be living up to God's will for our life. God's will should be on our front burner. There's other things you can put on the back burner, but God's will should be on the front burner. So the belt of truth shapes how we think, and the breastplate of righteousness shapes how we live. And these are the two areas that the enemy tries to get involved with. So Satan is going to try to get us to compromise. He's going to get us to try to compromise God's truth in our life. And when it does that, then it compromises our witness. When we try to fit in, then that makes a big problem. Because it's a revolving door in making mistakes after mistakes. And so what does it mean we need to do? We need to get prepared. How do you get prepared? You allow yourself to be trained up. You stay connected. You start to buy in to the things of God, that God's word has the final say. And you start to get in that flow of that, and then it changes how we do things and what we do. This is so true. And as we do that, then we'll start to see the manifestation of the Spirit. Because when we're going through a trial, and we will go through a trial. You might go through a trial today. You may go through a trial this week or sometime soon. We're going to fall to the level of preparation we have accomplished. This manifests many times in a sporting event. The level of preparation is showed on the scoreboard. And it's like that in our walk with God. So how do you stand firm? What do you do? Well, number one, standing firm is not a one-time decision, but it's a daily choice. You wake up every day and you decide that I'm going to make a stand for God. I'm not going to bow my knee. I'm not going to bow my knee to this addiction. I'm not going to bow my knee to these lies of the devil. I'm not going to try to fit in and be a chameleon and act one way on Sunday and another way during the rest of the week. Life is a choice to follow Christ. So, when we walk in truth and righteousness, we become unstoppable soldier in the army of God. And that's what I want us to see as we go through the spiritual warfare messages. That I want you to see yourself as an unstoppable soldier. You're a champion for Christ as we walk in the things that God's called us to do. We are here, my friends, to set the captives free. There's so many people who have been lied to, who are living that lie, and they have no hope without Christ. They need a champion. They need somebody to step up and to step into their situation and to lead them out of that darkness into the kingdom of light. My challenge is, will you make a stand for Christ? Let's pray.